You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com, bringing you the freshest radio in Brooklyn since 2009. Hear directly from chefs to farmers, artists to architects, authors to brewers, and everyone in between. Check out all of our shows on our website or by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse. Snacky Tunes.
When the supermodels fell into the water, so Hello and welcome to Snacky Tunes. I'm one half of your host, Terry Diabolic, a finger on the pulse, staring into the similar face of my co-partner and co-host, DJ Never Forget.
Good to be here.
That song, Shipping Off to Boston, goes out to our friend who recently passed, Ray Dieter. You are much loved and much missed. We wish your family and everyone well. The opening track was Ducky. Ducky, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Hi.
And what was the name of that song?
It's called Dust.
Awesome. She's going to be playing in the second half of our show.
Yeah, performing live. We haven't had anybody live since Oberhofer back in December.
Yeah, we're starting to lay it down for the next comp, which should hopefully be coming out around our 100th show.
I mean, when you make promises like that, you know they're just going to be able to go back and be like,
yeah, but if we don't make promises, we don't give the people hope.
We set goals, deadlines, really put the pressure on, get nervous about things we don't have to get nervous about.
All right. But first up, we have the wonderful Mark Ladner from Del Posto. Mark, welcome.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's nice to be here.
We are happy to have Mark in studio because he is doing our final barbecue blowout, the smaller one.
Blowout.
This Wednesday, July 13th at Good Co. with Oberhofer, who's DJing.
Yes.
Mark, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thank you very much.
So, Mark, you work at, I think, one of the most famous restaurants in New York City, Del Posto, and I think the last one to be crowned with 4 stars. Am I right?
That is correct, yes.
So let's talk about what it's like to work at a 4-star restaurant and talk about the food that you cook there.
Well, it's it's Italian food.
Mm-hmm.
It's American food. We like to call it Newarchese.
How do you spell that?
It's New York with an E-S-E on the end.
Okay.
And it's sort of a joke, but... the fact of the matter is that although we do an interpretation of regional Italian cuisine, we are undeniably practicing in America. So although the hyphenated term of Italian-American is often has negative connotations, it's sort of undeniable.
Being that you're working for a restaurant that has gotten so many accolades, do you find that it's in some ways freeing when you want to create new dishes or try and push the envelope of what people consider classic dining?
It's a compelling question because, you know, fine dining is a really difficult genre to be participating in. These days with the casualization of the globe and a lot of people just aren't really into it. So it's certainly been difficult. But it's nice to have, you know, an astronomical budget.
You have free range as the executive chef. I mean, you get to so you know you're known for your tasting menus. You're known for people coming in and people saying, "Just I'm sitting down and putting you in my hands." What does it take to get a dish on the menu? What makes a dish get off the menu? You know, what is that process like?
I guess we don't really consider ourselves to be a particularly creative restaurant. I think that Brooks. My distinguished colleague to my left over here.
Hello, Brooks. Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Awesome.
Is probably doing more of the fresh, creative content. But, you know, the reality is that in a fine dining establishment, it's obscenely expensive. And a lot of our clientele... you know, don't really give a fuck how creative I'm feeling on a particular day. And they want something that they can depend and rely on because they're paying a shitload of money.
They want that steak perfect. They want that pasta perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Brooks, maybe can answer this. What is it about the area of pastry and dessert and things like that where people are willing to sit down to something that's even more avant-garde and they're willing to see something that's more of a show than your standard savory dish?
I don't know if it's necessarily like that. A lot of times, at least in current times in New York City, at least, like, a lot of pastry chefs kind of do sort of weirder or avant-garder things, if that's a word.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily make it good.
Right.
You really just have to, like, respect the food and respect the ingredients. And, I mean, that's just what we do at the restaurant. It's like, and that's the most Italian thing you can do, which is highlight the product and, you know, treat it like your baby. And if that means, like, you know, using a vegetable or whatever, like, it's not necessarily, at least what we do, is not, it's not to be weird or avant-garde. That's kind of dumb. It's just to highlight the stuff, you know.
The flavor. So how often do you two sit down with Chef Batali and just talk and think about, you know, are you sitting down every day to talk about the future of the restaurant? Is it that much of an involved process, or is it, you know, week to week or month to month?
Not really at all. He's more of like our guiding light and beacon, and because I've been working with him for so long, I think that he trusts, you know, my taste and the ideology that we share, and he kind of just lets us, you know, do our thing.
I know that, I mean, especially in the last few years, the recession and the way that the economy sort of has crapped out has put, you know, sort of a damper on fine dining. What are some of the things that you think have kept, you know, fine dining, like a restaurant like yours, which is this gorgeous, giant space on the west side? What is it about fine dining that makes it that it will probably never disappear completely?
Well, I mean, we've sort of taken a slightly more recent approach, sort of like harking back to the romanticism of times gone by, and sort of trying to reinterpret continental dining to a certain degree. Like, the fact of the matter is that there will always be rich people that want to be treated well, and there are always going to be people with money that want to drink, you know, fine wine, and our job is to help sort of facilitate that.
No, that's absolutely true. Like,
no, I mean, it's totally true. I mean, there are people who have money, and they want to spend that money on those type of things, cars to the restaurant, cars out, things like that. Do you normally eat at fine dining restaurants? Where do you eat when it's time for you to step out?
I'm a complete Japanophile, so I primarily spend my time eating sushi.
Where's your favorite sushi spot?
My favorite sushi spot is a place called Yushi Wakamaru on Houston Street. Actually, Carlo and I share.
Ducky, you've been there?
Yes, it's really good.
Affinity with Hideo's a good friend of ours, and we actually just recently made a video of him whacking an entire kindai tuna that we can look forward to viewing soon.
Awesome.
It's going to be really cool, yeah.
All right, so we're going to take a quick musical break, and then we get back, we're going to talk about the barbecue and grilling and cooking for the summer and, you know, stepping outside the kitchen and onto the grill. Right?
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
Awesome. So we're going to play a song from one of my favorite bands, Archers of Loaf, who are in the middle of a reunion tour, which I am now missing because of, you know, I wasn't here to see them.
That's how you miss things.
Yes, that is. All right, this is Snacky Tunes. We'll be right back. Thank you. Love that song. Arches of Loaf, You and Me, Omni Union Tour right now.
How are things working out for You and Me?
I think they're working out pretty well.
Yeah.
We're doing really well these days.
We've got Ducky playing live later in the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's going to teach us about how to really use your education.
During the song break, Mark, you said there was one more thing you want to talk about fine dining and why it won't ever go away.
Well, it's not so much that it won't ever go away. It's becoming much more difficult to operate these types of establishments due to labor laws and just general taste levels and things like that. But one other thing that I wanted to just briefly mention, one of the reasons why I think that we've sort of created a niche for ourselves is due to the fact that we sort of are anti-chef worship. We're much more into trying to promote hospitality and trying to give the guest what it is that they want rather than what we want. And I think that's a successful way to continue to proliferate fine dining, because as I had mentioned earlier, there will always be rich people that want to pamper themselves, and they want what they want, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Right, and it's about the level that we're operating on. It's all about hospitality. It's not about our egos. Right. Like, it's not about us. It's totally about them.
Right.
So is there a line drawn in the sand of when you're cooking for yourself and cooking for the customer? Are there times when you want to do something, but you feel that the customer won't appreciate it or enjoy it?
Not necessarily, but, I mean, obviously we track and monitor, sales balances and things, and sometimes things work better than others, and sometimes we put things on the menu that are more for us and a way for us to express ourselves. But for the most part, we're trying to create dishes that help facilitate the entire experience rather than just, me.
You both can answer, but what dish is on the menu right now that you both love? What's your favorite dish that you've put on there?
I mean, for me, it's always like whatever is the newest thing.
Right.
If it's like something seasonal, that's the most exciting because it's new and it's fragile and you're not going to have it forever.
Right.
So.
I mean, we enjoy doing things that sort of bend and alter the perception of what, Italian food should be and produce a little bit more of maybe what Italian food could be like in the future. I think you're going to see less and less restaurants trying to bite another place in the world to recreate that experience in America. I think most talented American chefs these days are trying to reevaluate what American food is, and the fact that we are in such an ethnically diverse culture. Fusion is not such a dirty word anymore.
No.
It's the future of dining in this country, and that's really exciting,
So, one of the things that we're excited about, and I guess you could say the fusion, is the fact that you're coming out to do this barbecue with us on July 13th. And can you talk to us about the menu that you've planned and how you came up with that?
Well, I mean, I don't have a tremendous amount of experience barbecuing food, certainly not in the traditional sense, but I do like cooking outdoors in the summer, so I guess that could be loosely termed as barbecue. I do know my way around a grill because I've obviously cooked many different ways in my career, but we decided to do this particular dish that's a rendition of something that's currently on the menu, which is like a whole roasted young lamb.
Mm-hmm.
And something that, that Brooks and I are both like really, really into is producing food that's completely self-contained. So we've essentially made a plate out of bread in which this dish will be served in and on, so that it's actually completely self-contained, but also completely edible.
Which is great. We were saying before how Ethiopian food, I love Ethiopian food just because you're like, I hate dishes, as my brother can say. Like, I will just let a pot sit in there, so any food that can just be like totally done and I don't know a thing about it, so I'm excited. Mm-hmm. Not that like I do dishes at the barbecues, but
it'll probably be a little messy for some, but you know, you guys got some sporks or something.
We got some plates.
I kind of feel that anybody that complains about messy food at something has barbecue in the title probably just don't come. I mean, I don't know. I mean, our events are for everybody, but if you're going to get upset that the hand food is messy, it is good. Yes?
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, when you guys are rock and rolling in the kitchen and getting cooking, I know that you guys listen to like a lot of music. What do you listen to?
I hate music in the kitchen.
Really?
Absolutely. It's like my it's my ultimate pet peeve.
So you like a silent kitchen?
No, I don't like a silent kitchen. I like the sounds of the kitchen. The organic sounds of the kitchen are way more brutal than anything I could ever listen to, or way more entertaining to.
Even when you're at home, when you're cooking for yourself?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Mark?
I defer to the Brooks.
So there's no radio, there's no nothing?
My guys downstairs, they listen to music.
A lot of salsa, a lot of merengue, you know.
I'm not happy about it.
You're not happy, but you'll let it happen?
Turn it off.
I don't like it either.
Is there music? I mean, but, you know, I mean, Babo, and I know that is known for its rock and roll soundtrack.
But that's in the dining room.
That's in the dining room. And does Del Posto, what type of music do you normally play with?
We have live piano every service that we're open.
And we have this one guy.
Very talented.
Who?
People. I can't say it.
Okay.
All right, well, great. Well, guys, we were super excited for Wednesday.
Yeah, thank you for taking time to come on the show. And
thanks for having us.
It was really great. So the barbecue is this. It's this Wednesday at Good Company, which is 10 Hope Street at Hope and Roebling in Williamsburg.
Free entry.
We're sold out of advance tickets, but we will have about 100 plates at $10 a pop for a plate of totally edible food.
And a Reka cocktail.
Oh,
and what's the website for Del Posto?
Delposto.com.
Delposto.com.
Really, really, really simple.
We always ask. I'm not going to...
Do you follow Twitter? Like 10 orders up?
Absolutely not.
I know you have a Twitter account, but I don't...
That's Chloe's account.
Oh, that's Chloe.
Hi, Chloe. Thanks to Chloe for helping set this up.
And thanks to Jay Strell as well for setting this up.
Yeah. So we're going to play the brand new Rapture single, which is awesome. And then we're going to...
It is awesome.
It is awesome. I was actually singing it at the top of my lungs at Tiki Disco here yesterday.
Yeah, those guys are going to be on Snacky Tunes in
August. And then we're going to have Ducky live in studio.
Awesome.
Excited, Ducky?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great.
All right, here you go. How Deep Is Your Love by The Rapture.
All right. New Rapture single. They are playing Music Hall Williamsburg on August 20th, and yep. I'm sure it's sold out, so I don't know. Figure it out.
I bought my ticket.
So, live in studio today, we have Ducky. Welcome.
Thank you.
Not your real name.
No.
Hard-hitting questions here. like that. But, Ducky, we played a show with you at Cake Shop back Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
And we had a great time. You had two fabulous dancers.
I often do.
As you often do. And you are also playing together at the August 6th Barbecue Blowout Festival.
Yeah, I can't wait.
At City Winery. It's going to be so much fun. Are you bringing the dancers?
Of course I am.
Awesome. Barbecue sauce everywhere. That's really gross.
Everywhere.
So, Ducky, give our listeners a quick background.
Wait, can I ask one question?
No.
Who's Ducky?
I am Ducky.
No, but who is Ducky?
Hear the emphasis on
that
the is.
That is so meta.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm at your level.
Okay, well, just tell us then what Ducky
Tell us how you became Ducky.
How did I become Ducky? Well, I got the name in eighth grade. I was there at that school for 10 years, and there were four of us, and they called us lifers. And we dressed up really crazy for our yearbook photos, and they wouldn't let us wear any of it, except for they let me hold a stuffed duck in my picture.
And that's how you got your nickname?
Yes.
Huh. Pretty good.
Okay.
You know.
So that's how you became Ducky.
That's how you became Ducky.
How did you become the musician Ducky?
Well, it was also the same year that I started working in Logic. I used an eighth grade project as an excuse to beg my dad for Logic and a cheap microphone, and I've just been playing with it ever since.
How many years has that been?
Six.
That's awesome. And you're over at NYU right now, right?
Yes, I am.
How are you enjoying it?
I love it.
Where are you from?
I'm from San Francisco.
Oh, man. All the way across the country.
Yeah, I'm bicoastal.
Bicoastal? Your parents still out there in San Francisco?
Yeah.
Are you happy about Dos Toros?
Yes. I actually have only been there once.
That's still fine. They're cooking at the barbecue.
I know. I can't wait.
I mean, there was no San Francisco options, really, until they opened up.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. I never understood it. What was so hard about it? What's your favorite
Mexican food?
No, I mean, what's your favorite San Francisco burrito place?
I love Taqueria Cancun mm-hmm. and El Farolito.
Well, El Farolito is the al pastor quesadilla is the stuff dreams are made of.
Yeah.
Those are actually the only two right answers, by the way.
Great.
I swear that if you go back and listen to previous episodes, I have talked about their al pastor quesadillas on multiple occasions.
Is that what you're driving people to the podcast for?
Yeah. I don't listen to my things. So how long, what year are you?
I'm going to be a senior next year.
You're okay. So have you been doing performances at NYU, or is it mostly how have you established yourself as an artist?
I'm actually really fortunate. I'm in a recorded music program, so I'm surrounded by other artists that play live. We're all friends, and so I get offered a lot of shows that way.
Speaking of playing live, let's get into a song.
Yeah,
okay.
Let's do a song. Let's
cool.
do a song, and then we'll come back. We'll talk more about NYU and, I don't know, chilling on the settee. So what's this first song you're playing?
This is called The Tropics, and it's actually unreleased.
We got a Snacky Tunes exclusive. All right, here we go. Ducky live with Snacky Tunes.
I'm
I'm confident or inconsequential. Consummates of what's inside. Whoa, oh.
Yeah.
Great.
That was awesome.
Thanks.
Nice.
You have an awesome voice.
Thank you.
Yeah, I feel like people never like think that we run stuff through here. It's just, you can confirm it's just four mics in a room.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Pretty much.
But it's a cool room.
It's a cool room. We got a boar's head.
No, I'm not. Yeah, but I just meant like sound wise.
Oh, and the AC's on.
Anyway, so so as far as being a student, I mean, have you, do you keep this like separate from like NYU stuff, or do you like play NYU shows, or how have you like, do you do bookings yourself?
That's a lot of questions.
I know. Pick one.
Okay.
Let's invite. Can you major in being ducky?
I pretty much am.
Okay.
Yeah, it's I'm in a program called the Clive Davis Department. It's recording music, business, history, criticism, production, everything. And I'm taking my senior year. We do a thing called Capstone. You get all this studio time, and you just do what you want to do.
That's awesome.
So how much are you going to, what are you going to try and record?
So much. Because the only thing that I really need to do in the studio is vocals and, like, any additional things that I want to record. But everything I do is programming.
Right. What programs do you use other than Logic?
I rewire with Ableton, and I sometimes rewire with Reason, but not as much.
So as far as gigs go, let's get back to that.
Okay.
Hard-hitting question.
All right.
Do you play a lot within like the NYU system, or do you go and do you play shows outside of it?
No, it's pretty much outside. It's funny how often I get asked that, because the NYU shows are usually like established bands. They don't really offer shows
to
a lot
of NYU acts. Look at
the play. Yeah.
Look at like Johnny.
They had like Big Boy and like Broken Social Scene was a special guest. It's like big names.
That's where, I mean, when I was in school, we did a lot of, I guess we were small budgets.
Right.
So we booked a lot of local talent or through the radio station or things like that. So you mostly play. So where do you play around the city?
I'd say the biggest I've played is the studio at Webster Hall. The smallest is probably like dive bars, like
Cake Shop.
Yeah, Cake Shop. Cake Shop was fun though.
That was a good time.
Yeah.
We had a real good time. You missed that one, didn't you?
I was working.
It was a good show.
Sorry.
Good show.
Well, we'll have another one.
Yeah, we will.
Do you do bookings yourself, or do you have a booking agent, or are you a hustler?
Actually, I'm pretty lucky. Almost every show I've ever played, someone has offered to me.
Did you just say lucky ducky?
I did not say that,
no.
But maybe I should have.
Yeah.
So how much stuff do you have recorded right now? Like, what do you have out?
I have a lot of old stuff out. Most of the things that I've been playing live now, I'm sort of sitting on because I feel like I want to do something more with them.
Mm-hmm.
I released Dust, the single, and honestly, I have like 2 EPs worth of stuff that I'm just waiting for the right moment to drop.
Are you gonna do the whole like couple EP routes instead of the whole album? Definitely. Who puts out?
Are they?
It's such an antiquated format.
So is.
I'm curious about the program. So do they teach you, I mean, do they bring executives in to meet with, do they sit you through meetings like that, like what are they, how up to date are they on, like, because I feel from even 5-6 years ago when I left college and got out to like the way that things are done now, it's a totally just different system.
They're actually really good about it. They at the end of your capstone, you present to a board of business executives, but also all of our teachers are people in the music industry.
Like who would we know? Who?
I don't know if you would know them by name, but like, for example, my production teacher his name is Nick Cinsano, and he did It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Do they have a giant clock hanging in his room?
And we have a small clock for a while that said in the nick of time at 12 o'clock.
Got it. Okay, that's pretty cute. Why don't we get another song?
Okay.
What, you don't like these jokes?
No, these are good jokes, but I don't want to...
Oh, hilarious.
No, I don't want to tie anybody up.
All right, so here we go. Ducky, live on Second Chance. What's the next song?
This one is called Hush, There Are Thieves About, and I've been playing it forever, and it still is not out yet.
I mean...
But it will be.
You've got time.
Yeah.
And you could also maybe go in and redo the vocals.
I actually haven't recorded the vocals for it yet, which is why it's not out.
Oh, well, there... Nah. Well, that answered that question.
All right, well, here we go. Ducky Live on Snacky Tunes. Take it away.
Very nice.
So pretty.
Thank
you. It was a beautiful summer day. That was a Ducky Live on Snacky Tunes.
How's your sandwich?
Roberta's just knocking it out of the park. Yeah, I had the lamb breast sandwich. What are you going to order when you...
I haven't even looked at a menu.
What do you eat when you're... What's your tour food and recording food like?
I mean, I'm really like the antithesis of a picky eater. I love everything. When it comes to recording, the only two things I can't do are spicy and dairy. But all right. I'll eat anything else.
Oh, does dairy affect the vocal cords?
Yeah, it makes you produce more phlegm.
Gross.
Yeah. Gross. Appetizing.
These are facts. Gross. So has your dad been like, you were right, thanks for, you know, convincing me to buy you Logic?
He's always been really supportive.
Have your parents seen you play?
Yeah. Oh, my dad comes to every show that he can.
That's really nice.
It's awesome.
He flies out from San Fran.
Mm-hmm.
Was he at the cake shop? Is he coming in August?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to get him to come. He wasn't at the cake shop, but he was at the gig I played before that.
What's been the best gig you've played so far here?
Oh. I mean, the Studio Webster Hall was amazing just because I don't think I'd ever played before that many people.
How many people were there?
I have no idea. It's all a blur. I know we packed the place. By the end of the night, it was sold out.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
Were you headlining?
No. No, I played actually with two bands that are also in my program, Beast Make Bomb and Rio. Yeah.
I'm not really up on the NYU. So talk to us about Quack House.
Quack House. What
is Quack House? What is Quack House?
Right now, not a lot. Okay. I have plans for it. You know, if I had my way and I got everything I wanted, I would have my own record label of similar artists that I admired that I could work with, and they would be in a Quack House family.
Do they teach you that, like how to like start your own label, or do they like don't do it?
Well, yeah. There's not like a course on starting your own label, but if you're interested, you can find people who will help you.
I think there's a course. I think you just put $1,000 in the middle of a room and light it on fire. Jokes.
I'm just curious. Yeah, I mean, is everyone in your program in some different type of musical program, or are there some people there who are just there for the business side of it?
There's not that many people who are there for the business side exclusively. There are a few people. There's like a journalism track within it. There's usually like one kid per grade that's like, yeah, I'm just here to write.
Just here to write about music.
No, I mean, that's kind of awesome. I mean, you can probably build your own microcosm of like the one kid that it, like cuts his teeth on asking like, so when you're in the studio, do you write music in the studio? And just, you know, let him throw a lot of softballs out, you know.
So as someone who grew up in San Francisco as a musician at a young age, what was it like to dream of coming to New York to pursue music and then actually get here? What was the fantasy versus reality of that?
Well, it didn't really go down like that.
Okay, how did it go down, Ducky?
It was more that I kind of stumbled upon this program, and I was at a point where I was trying to decide whether or not I wanted to go to college at all. I was 17, done with high school, bored of San Francisco, trying to do music, but I hadn't really fully fleshed it out yet, and I saw this program, and I was like, that's it, I'm going here, or I'm not going to school at all, and I'm going to go be a waitress.
Was it just that easy? I mean, what was the application process?
It was pretty hard. There's like a big portfolio you have to do along with the Common application and the NYU application, so it's like three big parts. They just made it a lot harder. Thank God I didn't apply like this year or last year.
Which school is it through? Tisch?
Yeah.
Why? How did they make it harder?
They, you have to do, like, a Skype interview. We had to do, when we applied...
So the we is Sam.
Yeah, this... Sam's here.
Hi.
Are you in the program too, Sam?
I am.
Oh, okay.
What's your band's name?
Cut Your Teeth.
They rock.
And Young Set Club is another one I've been working with.
Young Set Club?
Young Set Club.
Got it. Okay, so what's the application?
Okay, yeah. So when we...
Skype interview...
Now it is.
Ugh, why?
I don't know. Thank God I didn't have to do that.
Crazy.
We had to write like this long essay on the three albums that we would take with us to a deserted island.
That is not a question.
Yeah, that's because ridiculous. What are you listening to it on? Your iPad's going to run out of battery. What are you, plugging a record player?
It's Stereo Island. Somehow
it's
it does not.
Power. Yeah.
It has enough power to play it, but not enough power to make a phone call.
Yeah. God, I'd love to get off, but I just keep listening to The Smiths.
That's actually the album I picked.
Yeah.
So the Skype interview now.
Skype interview, and instead of the three albums, they have to make a playlist of like MP3s and write about each of the songs individually.
This is what happens when they try to, I have made a living off of like music and entertainment. But I went to business school, like finance, all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
This is when they tried to like take something that doesn't fit in that mold and make it as like, just let the kid like just if they can write music and they're passionate about it, like follow that. Not like what is your playlist like? What do you, like, yeah. Ooh, you know, you pick something from the third Led Zeppelin album, which I love the fourth one. So I think I'm gonna have to deny. Like it can't be that subjective.
I think next year you have to make a mixtape for your boyfriend or girlfriend and justify each track. All right, let's get one more song. We'll come back. We'll wrap up and do another song to let us out. So right now, Ducky, song 3 of 4.
I'm doing 4 now?
Yeah.
You told me 3.
Does that work for you?
I can do it. I'll make it work.
Okay, thanks, Ducky.
Yeah, man.
Anyway, so August 6th is the City Winery and Ours Barbecue. It's going to be Van Dag, Myled, Mexiq, Sam Mason, Dos Toros.
Sam Talbot.
Christina Tosi from Momofuku Milk Bar.
Craft.
Ducky's playing. Midnight Magic's playing.
Foster Domus.
New Villager.
Looks good, right?
Citywinery.com.
And Ducky's Dancers.
Oh, yeah.
How do you find your dancers?
I knew one of them personally. She was a friend. I asked her if she wanted to do it and if she knew someone else, and she introduced me to the other one.
It's going to be students?
Yeah.
It's going to be hot in the summer. It's
going to be extra hot.
You haven't seen it. Oh, man.
No.
Get ready.
They told me about it, though.
Extra saucy.
Oh, yeah.
Super saucy.
Really saucy.
Like the sauciest barbecue that's ever happened in the history of barbecues. All right, actually, you know what? Looking at the clock, we don't have that much time. So why don't we just do all like the send out, shout outs, everything. And then we'll just get one more song in. Sorry we can't do four. We'll just do three.
You're stomping on my dreams today.
I'm sorry. Well, you know what? If you want to see more of her music, you just got to wait till August 6th. Oh, wait, are you playing anytime between now and then?
I am playing...
We had a radius clause. Yeah.
Lies.
Lies.
I'm actually playing July 30th for a benefit for the Chef Organization.
What's that? Anyway.
Something to do with food?
It is, yes, it is something to do with food, bringing food to people who need food. And a good friend of mine is involved with them.
Look, let's just be fair. We've DJed a number of benefits that I didn't know exactly what it was for.
A good cause is a good cause.
You know what? That is a quote. That is a beautiful, beautiful quote.
And so if someone wanted to find your previously recorded music,
they could go to duckymusic.com or ducky.bandcamp.com.
Did they teach you how to build websites at this?
No.
What did they teach you? I'll put it this way. Let me ask you this. This is the one thing. If you hadn't gone to this college, what's the one thing that they taught you that you don't think you would have learned that's actually going to be helpful?
Oh my God, like everything I know in the studio.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's good. I'm just curious.
Are there any bands that are in the program with you that you think are going
to
make it?
And you can't name the dude who's sitting next to you.
I can't.
Well, we already shouted him out.
I play metal, so there's no way I'm going to make it.
Except for in Europe. Oh my God, there's so many. I don't even know where to start.
Start with one.
I feel like I'm going to get in trouble for whoever I don't pick.
Just pick one. Tell me we don't have enough time to name everybody. You're all talented, NYU.
Ryu. R-I-O-U-X.
Ryu. That's easily easy Googleable name.
Yeah.
What do they sound like?
Sort of like psychedelic. I know he's really influenced by like krautrock and like Kraftwerk German scene.
Are there any pop people in there? Like next generation?
There are a few, but actually most of them dropped out, I think.
Like No Rebecca Blacks?
Ooh.
Yes.
No, oh my God.
But I can't say it.
There is somebody?
But there's somebody.
Why can't you say it? Is this too mean?
Yeah, it's way
okay.
too mean.
All right, we're like a really nice show.
Yeah,
I'm not a nice person.
The way that we don't talk shit is we just don't have people on here we don't like.
I don't bring anybody on to be like, by the way, your music sucks.
Yeah, the biggest sandbag you ever saw was earlier this show.
Oh yeah,
oh, yeah.
What music?
He set me up. By the way, just so you know that on break, that Brooks was like, "Oh, I definitely want to talk about the music we listened to." I was like, "We're not going to ask that question." He's like, "Please ask that question." Just so we could just...
Yeah, he's like, I have a great answer.
He just spiked the ball right in my face. And we're on the same team.
It's like
all those bad B-movies where they're like, your partner pulls the gun on you. It's like, and I'll be taking the money now. Brooks. Broke my heart.
Brooks.
That's where you went?
Yeah, that's where I went.
Oh, man.
It's summer.
You did not get enough sleep after Tiki Disco yesterday.
I drank a good amount of tequila.
What happened to your shirt yesterday?
It ripped off.
Wow.
Yeah.
But, yes. Thank you, Sam.
Oh, yeah.
See, I told you it wasn't my fault. The chef just went, I don't want to be on here anymore, and just ripped itself right off of me.
You can't stop it.
You can't stop it, especially in the summer.
Anyway, Ducky. I think it's because you're not used to wearing sleeps.
I don't know. Ducky, thank you for being on there. Sam, thanks for helping out.
Oh, what's the Twitter?
Quack House.
Full circle. And what are we going to, what are you going to take us out with?
I'm going to play Dust.
Awesome.
Full circle number two.
I'm all about the full circle.
Don't forget about the Del Posto Barbecue this Wednesday at Good Company. Buy your tickets for the August 6th barbecue. What else are you missing? Who's on next week?
Oh, I'm not sure yet.
Not sure yet?
I mean, I do know, but I just got to look through my emails.
Dean from True Panther.
Oh, Dean from True Panther. Oh, and by the way, I want to give a shout out to Steven, who recognized my voice yesterday at the barbecue and when I mistook him for somebody else.
Are you sure it's Steven?
Or Steve. It's one of those two. Anyway.
And shout out to Tiki Disco.
Yeah. Really, really.
Those guys are going
to
be on here in August.
Yeah. It's every other Sunday. If you enjoy the more like dance music elements that we have on here, you will love Tiki Disco. And it's over by 10. You can be in bed by 11. Just in time for class.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Thank you.
You are
We are finger on the we are finger on the pulse. This is Ducky playing Dust.
Oh, and Four Knots Festival this Saturday.
Oh, yeah. We're playing Four Knots Festival.
The new Siren Festival.
At the South Street Seaport with Village Voice. We're going to be on the DJ Pavilion with Dan Deacon, Yesayer, and Black Angels. Titus Andronicus are a bunch of other are playing on the main stage.
We'll be there. We'll be on from 5 to 7 as Finger on the Pulse and 7 to 8 as Punches.
Yeah, so come check it out. It's free. And
bring your granola bars.
Yeah, you might be hungry.
You might be hungry.
Yeah, we're good. I think that's everything.
I think it's everything. Okay, Ducky, take us out on Dust.
All right.
Sadness that we mourn the loss of Ray Dieter, owner of the DBA Bars and co-host of Beer Sessions Radio. Ray made this studio brighter every Tuesday at 5 p.m. with his larger-than-life personality, charm, wit, charisma, and expertise. We hope the archives of Ray on our station will serve as some kind of window into the life of a man who meant so much to those he knew and those he didn't know. And on behalf of everybody here at Heritage Radio Network, we thank you, Ray.
And they've been doing that for many, many years. And how do they get that barrel of beer? Did you ever hear of a place called Beer Mountain?
What is that? I have not, actually.
Beer Mountain is a place that I climb every once in a while to find barrels of beer for my customers. I go up there. I wear big, heavy boots. I carry a sled with me because there's snow and ice. And and I go to the top of the mountain, and I bring back barrels and bottles of beer for the people at my bars. And that's where I got it from, Beer Mountain.
You're awesome, Ray.
It's better for growing things. There's just more rain and more regular temperatures, not as harsh a winter.
Sure.
So it just became more economically viable to grow it there.
Can I just make a statement? I want to apologize to everybody that asked me why hops weren't grown in New York State, because I've told everybody there was a hop blight. I just pulled that out of my ass.
So why did you open a bar in New Orleans?
Well, everybody asks that question. The basic reason I opened a bar in New Orleans, down there, obviously it's a drinking town. There's a lot of drinking town. It's also a culinary town. They have some of the best restaurants in the country down there, and people told us we were crazy bringing a good beer, good whiskey, good drinking concept down to New Orleans, because all the people wanted was, you know, huge ass buds. And that's all well and fine, and there's a lot of fun to be had on Bourbon Street, but there's a lot of shit going on down there away from Bourbon Street. And we opened up DBA in 2000, and we had a slow beginning because we had a pretty good list and people were like kind of intimidated. But once the restaurant people, the chefs, the service people in the restaurant industry kind of got wind that we were down there and we had a great beer selection, we got filled up pretty fast. I mean, it worked out real well. And we opened our second place called Mimi's down there. And another aspect about it is down there, you know, a bar owner is a respected member of the community. We pay our taxes. We employ people, and we're part of the whole trade industry down there, the whole tourist industry. In New York City, we're not treated quite the same. And you know that as well as I speak. We're kind of treated as we're not a respected member of the business community as bar owners, necessarily.
So you like New Orleans?
I love it.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio. Ray Dieter, a.k.a. Bootsy Collins, was just on the air. Ray, what was it like in the old days? Did you have a band or something? Bootsy Collins, Ray Dieter, DBA.
I play guitar a little bit, but yeah, it was kind of boring. The beer business is a lot more fun, Jimmy.
You're just too cool, man. I love you, man. Ray, tell us the Tom Peters story. I know you've known him for years.
Yeah, you know, I have known him for years, and all the stories that I have about Tom, I cannot tell you on the radio.
How about a general beer theme story, like the first time you met him? How about that?
Okay, the first time I met Tom, he was running a bar in Philadelphia called
Copa Two,
right? And I went down there. DBA was a brand new bar. We went down there, and he was one of the most generous, wonderful guys. He's like, oh, DBA, I love you guys. Like, how did he hear about us? I have no idea. But he knew who we were, and he treated us like kings. And free food, free drinks, so generous. And then I found out that he didn't own the place. So it's like, oh, that makes a lot of sense now.
If anyone's offering a course like that, it's a scam.
Absolutely. I took a course at NYU about opening a bar, and it was just a fallacy. It was just ridiculous. They have no idea. They have it's all about math too, and the math they talk about is really fun, but it's really not pertinent to what you do on a day to day living. Yeah, we need beer. Can somebody open some beer?
All right, I'm all over this. Give me a minute. Give me a bottle.
My glass is empty.
This is the first show we haven't been drinking beer nonstop.
Right. Hey Ray, how are you? How was your weekend?
You know, my New Year's is fine. I made a few bad choices, but you're supposed to. That's just what it is. New Year's is about making bad decisions, and I did that. But all in all, okay. I lived through
like
it.
Like I say, we're the only brewery in the world. We have wooden oak casks. So
yeah. When are we going to get some casks?
That's the reason. I mean, these casks. We sell them in England. You can't ship these things across the Atlantic Ocean.
How about if we provide the casks?
Even if we do provide the
casks. When I say we, I mean by America.
Well,
and by America, I mean Union. Union beer.
Cask beer done the traditional way, as we do it, has a shelf life of probably about a week after it... after it's brewed.
Yeah, but we have some casks coming over here. I know the Shelton Brothers bring some casks in. I know that the United Leather Importer brings some casks.
I mean, that's fantastic.
And they're fine.
I'm really glad that you appreciate, you know, that's great for you that you
no
have
pressure.
English cask beer. But, I mean, that's... I mean, to be brutally honest, the way that we do things at Sam Smith's is that we are very, very traditional. And mm-hmm. I mean, that's what our... What we believe our success is based on is sticking to what
well,
we
I mean,
do
but
best.
But IPA was made to be sent to India, and that's before airplanes and big steamships. I mean, if you really want to be traditional, you can, like, you know, we can get a donkey cart to come around south of Africa or whatever on a tramp steamer and bring it over. But I think it's time for Samuel Smith's to be available in cask occasionally for special events in New York. A lot of the beers in England, I mean, most of the breweries, the old school English ale breweries, would make a barley wine, but it wasn't. They weren't proud of them. It was something that they kept under the shelf, and it was something that, like, the old guy with the really greasy red woolly cap in the corner would get a little glass, and it was like, he would get a little bottle of it. It was about 6 ounces, and he'd pour it into his ale.
Yeah,
because nobody would sit there and pound
right
barley wine like we do here in America.
Right. Yeah.
And that barley wine that he was pouring into
it was
his ale,
fortification. Yeah,
right. His ale was about 3.5%. It was a session beer, and the barley wine back in the day was probably about 6%, 6.5%.
Right, right.
And he didn't want to be seen drinking that because only old drunks drank barley wine. But that's a whole old profile.
Little nip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now, so he would do, he would dip that little glass into his ale, and he would drink that. He'd sip that and quietly have a nice day.
Can't wait to be old.